Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. And Craig, we'll talk commodities and even more specifically precious metals. Precious metals early on here because, well, that's what we talk about a lot of the time. And it's quite a bullish close that we are going to see this week, barring some sort of major sell-off in the last couple hours of trading. Gold, as we are recording this on the futures, trading $1,964. That's up almost $30 again today. This is going to be a strong weekly close that follows up on a strong monthly close from February that happened on Monday. Craig, what's your takeaway from this much more bullish trend that gold and even silver, but more so gold, is in?
Well, you know, it's a number of things we've talked about over the last few weeks and months, I guess. First and foremost, you know, anytime you get these big moves on geopolitics, they usually don't last, but this geopolitical event is a little more sticky than most, I would say, too. And so many things have such long-term implications. The removal of Russia from SWIFT last weekend set us all up for this crazy week this week. But the impacts of that on global monetary system will be far-reaching in the months to come. But then you look at, again, the commodities across the board. Oh, my gosh, the base metals have been up 5, 8, 10% almost every day this week. You mentioned copper moving out to a new all-time high. The grains are just going bananas. I think wheat was up, limit up every single day this week. So, again, you know, you talk about, oh, well, hey, the Fed's going to tighten, you know, and all that. Yeah, 25 basis points later this month isn't going to do much for crude at 112. You know, and the lingering impacts of what's going on in commodities, and especially the grains, are going to be felt with inflation all through this year, too. And so you bring all that back. This notion that somehow the Fed was going to turn real interest rates positive, and so therefore you had to sell your gold. Well, that's out the window. And now one more thing that we've talked about off and on is, you know, as painful as this has been for the last year and a half, to watch gold and silver kind of flag out, you know, to use a technical term, just kind of go sideways and consolidate. The upside of that is after a year and a half, everybody can see the levels as they get taken out to the upside. You know, first it was 1920, you know, to make a higher high, and then it was above 1960, which we broke today, and it looks like we're at least we're going to finish the COMEX session above 1960. Sure makes 2000 look like it's right in our sights for next week. And you start putting a 2 in front of the gold price, and I mean, it's going to be everywhere. You know, in the mainstream media, Bloomberg, CNBC, you know, they're all going to be talking about, oh, wow, gold's 2,000. What does this mean? You see the shares having noticeable breakouts as well, and it kind of starts to feed on itself. So, yeah, this isn't, you know, outside of what I was predicting when I wrote my annual forecast back in January. I mean, I thought that all these realizations about real interest rates and inflation and the Fed would all sink in by summer. And we'd have a, you know, really good back half of the year. But man, the Russian events is like, you know, reaching down on Wheel of Fortune and giving that wheel a big old spin, man. They spun it forward a couple of weeks ago, and we're still dealing with the aftermath.
Yeah, Craig, we are still spinning from all the commodity increases because all of those sanctions against Russia only went to spike the punch bowl for the very commodities they export. Oil and nat gas, like you say, are record highs. We've got copper breaking out to an all-time high today. Nickel and palladium, which they are big exporters of, both have been up. There's been a lot of days nickel's been up 8 to 10%. Yep. So all of their currency, which is their commodities, are going up in value. And Russia's a big gold buyer. And when that SWIFT news happened, their central bank announced, we're going to start buying even more gold. So they've been hedging their bets against the ruble for a long time. Do you think that action, the sanctions against Russia and the move to kick them off the SWIFT banking network, has only bolstered their position and hurt everybody else?
This is a huge thing. That's what I mean about the long-term monetary system impacts. You know, I've been doing this for 12 years, and, you know, over the time, whenever I bring up de-dollarization and, you know, challenges to the dollar as a reserve currency, yeah, everybody, oh, you're just a goof. You're, you know, tinfoil hatter. You're just, you know, a charlatan trying to get people to listen to your videos. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And that's just all these people with their recency bias that think tomorrow is always going to be like just like yesterday. Kicking Russia out of SWIFT, not only in terms of what it does to Russia, it sure is eye-opening for the Chinese as well, right? Okay, so now we know what, you know, that you guys are willing to do this. And for God's sake, even Wednesday in his testimony on Capitol Hill, Powell said there's room for in the world, maybe for a second reserve currency. What? I about fell out of my chair. So, I mean, all of this eventually comes home to roost, and it creates less demand for dollars versus an increasing supply of dollars. All of that, you know, obviously then resets the value of the dollar and all the other fiat lower. But it's more than that. You know, also, I think it was back on Wednesday, Russia removed their VAT tax for their citizens to buy gold. So it used to be kind of like, you know, when you bought milk in a glass bottle or something, you know, you got to pay a 5% deposit. You know, that's what the VAT tax is. It was 20%. But then the thing is, if you sold your gold, you don't get the 20% back. It's not like when you bring back the bottle, you get your nickel back. Well, they're eliminating that, or at least that's what they're now considering. You know, we've talked about how do you instill confidence in your currency? How do you get people to use it? I mean, the ruble's down, what, 50% this week or whatever it was. Okay, well, maybe at least at home, you back your ruble with gold. Or you maybe, hey, you're going to kick us out of SWIFT and you won't let us exchange our crude oil and our natural resources for dollars anymore. Okay, you pay us in gold. Well, what does that do to gold long term? And by extension, what does that do to the mining shares? So these are consequential times. What I'm reminded, but my old man brain can't spit it out, you know, precisely right now in this instant. But what was the phrase from Vladimir Lenin about decades of action taking place in a matter of weeks? Yeah, we're living those weeks right now, and we'll just see where it takes us.
Well, and that's the thing, right? This is such a wild time because we do have essentially a war that is ongoing. And even though it's been about a week and a half now, it feels like it's been ongoing for a lot longer. And we're seeing the repercussions in the market. Craig, is there any way that this ends okay for the world? Because everything that I'm hearing right now and the dragging on of Russia continuing to attack Ukraine all seems very negative in terms of economies, in terms of growth, and even in terms of how the world or countries react and deal with each other.
Well, let's start there first and foremost, because, you know, I was born in 1966, so I was a kid in the 70s, and I remember watching movies like there was one called The Day After or something, which was like people trying to kill. What are they going to do after the nuclear exchange, you know? And I studied the Cuban Missile Crisis, and, you know, and I remember I was listening earlier this week, actually. I went back and listened to President Kennedy's speech at American University in June of 1963, you know, the one where he says, you know, at the end of the day, we're all human, we all breathe the same air, and we're all mortal. I mean, this has been, if you're my age, 56, you know, ish, I mean, you remember living under the specter of nuclear annihilation. So I'm not saying that, you know, that's coming, but we go from a 0.0% chance of that on a daily basis to a whatever 0.5% chance. It's a pretty big increase and rather unnerving. So I'm working under the hope that, you know, the actual military stuff and the death and destruction, it's so awful and sad and horrible. I'm working under the hope that eventually that calms down, you know, in the weeks to come. And we don't have all, you know, this specter of, like I said, nuclear annihilation hanging over us. But the economic impact, right? This notion that the Fed's going to hike six times this year and that inflation's going to come down and all of a sudden they're going to get Fed funds above inflation. That's, I mean, come on. That's as silly as the whole transitory thing was a year ago at this time. And so these impacts are, I mean, again, they're long term. And I just don't see a scenario at this point where even the Fed continues hiking. I mean, we may get to a point where, you know, if the liquidity really dries up and the stock market begins to tank, we're talking about another round of QE. I mean, who knows where this all goes? But I just pray that the actual military stuff, death and destruction stops, and then we're going to deal with the aftermath. Even if it stops, it's not like, oh, okay, then crude immediately goes back to 60 or something. You know, I mean, this is all, that stuff is all here to stay, and we're going to be talking about this rest of this year and into next. I'm sure about that.
Well, Craig, you bring up an interesting point there, because if you listen to the mainstream media and read the articles being put out, that is what they're saying. They're saying, right, hey, once all this Ukraine stuff's over, oil's going to crash back down. Gold will be, you know, crashing back down. All those metals will come back down. But I think they forget that all year long before this Ukraine thing started, oil was already running higher. Natural gas was all running higher. Gold was already moving since basically the end of Q3 the last year. And same thing's even with the mining stocks. Even silver has held up. But the base metals and the agricultural products, they were already spiking. We already have the effects of inflation. So how much of it is war premium if this was to stop tomorrow? And then what are the effects of all these other inflationary pressures and central bank pressures and fiscal pressures from governments around the world?
You nailed it, Shad. Yeah, the war premium is in there. I mean, what is it, 4 weeks ago today, 3 weeks ago today, whenever things really took off, Friday afternoon, we started about 1840 and went to 1865. And then that's when everything heated up. But the correction back price, if you take all the war premium out, is not 1840 or 50 at this point, because that damage has been done. I mean, there was like almost 100% chance of a 50 basis point rate hike at this next Fed meeting in a couple of weeks. And now people think, you know, if it'll be 25, you know, this thought of 8 or 9 rate hikes and all that's all out the window. The U.S. economy, what's GDP now, is at 0.0%. Okay. And wage gains aren't keeping up. We heard that today. So the U.S. economy is tipping over into it like a stagflationary recession. And gold is picking up on that, just like it always has. It's like, you know, coming out of the Powell pivot in December of 18, gold immediately started to rally and rallied in a whole 6 month period before the Fed started cutting rates in June of 19. Well, that process had already begun beginning back at the end of January. And so you're right. I mean, first and foremost, things aren't going back to where they were a couple of weeks ago. I mean, this is a done deal, these impacts. But even if, you know, on peace, which we hope happens, and you start taking out that looming threat of, you know, increased hostilities, gold's not falling back to 1780 when that happens because of where this is. And so all we can do at this point is be aware of all of this stuff and begin to plan accordingly. And if price does continue high, even in the short term, and the impacts on the metals, the mining shares, the exploration sector, as institutional money and generalists begin to take notice, it's going to be significant. So this is the time for people to be paying attention to their portfolios.
Craig, why haven't generalists or institutions come more strongly into the sector? I realize that royalty companies and the majors have moved, but look, gold is near all-time highs, and some of these majors, they have done well, but again, there hasn't been this broad rush into the sector.
Yeah, you know, at the same time, Corey, and you've seen this before, it's unfolding the way it usually does. You know, as people's...
But nothing's usual about this time,
right?
Everything we've outlined here is that everything is spiking.
Right. But again, put yourself in the shoes of the generalist, the asset manager, you know, the family office guy, the hedge fund, whatever. As you begin to get interested in gold and see it moving up and see the mining shares moving up, well, the first thing you do is you go, well, okay, maybe it's time to buy some Barrick. Maybe it's time to get some Newmont, right? Or the average guy on the street or calls up his stockbroker, and his stockbroker pulls up the GDX and looks at the top holdings because he knows nothing about it, doesn't know anything about the sector, and goes, okay. He looks at the top holdings and picks off a couple and tells his client those are the ones to buy. It's only as things progress that demand starts to trickle down. So what normally happens when things turn up is a GDX goes first. And then you get the GDXJ, and then eventually get the Silge. And then as price, all this keeps building and people really start getting excited, you know, that's when people start going, wow, you know, gosh, at $2,000 gold, you know, that guy that's got that property staked up there with the drill results in British Columbia, that's a pretty compelling story. And, you know, and then all of a sudden they pick up as well. And so what we've seen so far is, in my experience, not unusual at all. Look, it's easy to get frustrated and go, damn, my stock should be up more today. Well, guess what? If by a month from now we're making new all-time highs in dollar gold, like we're making today, new all-time highs in euro-priced gold, and well, let's say your exploration portfolio is going to be a little higher by then too. Just be patient.
All right, be patient, and I guess stick to it, right? But
right.
We'll see what direction these metals keep on going, because boy, oh boy, it's been a very good start to this month and a solid close to last month too. So far, things are going in the right direction for precious metals investors, and it's just more of a waiting game for that money to continue to trickle in. Craig, thank you, as always, for your time. Great chatting with you again this week. Hopefully, we'll chat next week, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Hopefully, that's a good way to put it, given the cloud that we're living under. But I suspect we will. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next week.